File 15, you need about three apiece to start out with. Or four. Everybody have file two? Wait a few minutes for people to come in. Need three of file 15 and one of file 2 there. Question?
I found an Old Testament by a guy named Knox. I think it's a Catholic version.
We covered Knox. He was the detective writer whom the Archbishop assigned to make a translation.
I got a deal on most of $5 for the drawing.
They're around. You can pick him up. He's different. He's original. He's entertaining.
You know who did the short Bible?
There's a bunch of short Bibles. There's a Reader's Digest short Bible. There's a short Bible by Kent. Foster Kent or something. That's always been a popular thing that men have undertaken. It's either been a trimmed down RSV or a trimmed down King James or something. So, removing all the parallel passages and that kind of thing. Yeah, one time during the vacation I did, then I started burning the midnight oil again. No, I did. Let me see here. How we're doing on this road trip. You're on here.
Right.
Yep. I want to discuss file two, and I see there's a number of people that aren't here, so I'll wait a few minutes for them. While we're waiting for them, let's argue over who gets what translation. Let's see. Who wants Tyndale? Going. Jeff. Adams. Yeah, that's a new one. We got to take that. Jay Adams. Anybody going for that? Takers on that one. Okay.
Why do I have to buy one?
No, you don't have to buy these. They're all in the library.
How much do you
take them? We're each going to take two or three. I'll try to get the majority of these. Take three of file 15, one of file 2. Question?
No.
In this class, we'll try to start at 5 after 7. So, once we figure out which translations we've got, and we get into evaluating, try to get your translations out of the library, into class, and we'll start right in the class about 5 after 7. So,
this next day.
Well, we'll get them tonight probably at 7:30 or something, but in the future, just bring them to class, and we'll launch right into the evaluating. How about New King James? Anybody want that? Okay, Ed. Dewey. We won't take anybody on the King James, as we can all quote it. King James 2. ERV and ASV. Numeric. Fosen. NAS. Tom, I'll give you another one there. RSV. You got that one? NEB. Okay. Twentieth Century. No takers on 20th Century. How about Fenton? Okay.
How many do you want us to take, Peter?
About three. What other one do you have?
Do we have PGBS too?
Weymouth. Okay, go ahead. Moffitt. Goodspeed. Okay.
Three of those.
Number 19, let's scratch that one. I also scratched two out of here. We'll put something else in there. C.B. Williams. Okay, go ahead. What one do you have?
ERV, ASV, and...
Okay, Berkeley. We're auctioning off his translations. Everybody will get two, and some will get three. Berkeley, okay. Phillips? Okay. Beck? Any takers on Beck? Okay. Good news? Okay, what one? What other one do you have?
I have RSV.
Yeah, this is different enough. Living? Who doesn't have one? You don't have one? Okay, we'll let you have it. Jerusalem. This your third? Okay. Barclay. Okay. NIV.
I'll take it.
Johannes. What other one do you want, Rob?
I don't have one yet. I'll take the...
Pick one.
Nice Wiest.
Pick anything on the list that's left.
Wiest and Amplified.
That's good, Rob. That's really good.
Okay, if you take both of them, you have to promise us you won't get them mixed up.
Okay.
You want both or one?
I'll just take Wiest for now.
All right. Amplified. Go ahead. You've also got 25 living?
Yeah.
Basic? Okay. Who doesn't have anything yet? Okay, what one do you want on the list?
Rocker.
All right. Anybody else not have even one at all? What one do you want?
Godby.
Godby, all right. Back up to 32, Kingsley Williams. Who wants that? Rob? Norley? Ledyard? Ledyard's different. Huh? All right. You also have Fenton?
Yeah.
Okay, don't mix up Ledyard and Fenton, because they probably could sound alike at times. Knox?
Knox,
Yep. What else do you have?
Living and amplified.
Better take confraternity. We'll put you on something straight. Who wants Knox? He's not straight. Go ahead. You got Rotherham?
Yeah.
NAB. Rob wants that. Diglot? What?
Sure, why not? Sounds strange.
It is. Yeah. Fosen? Darby? Ed? You only have three, right?
Yes, third one.
All right. Worrell. You want that one? You've got Godby?
I got Godby, too.
Okay, those are going to sound the same, so make sure you don't confuse them. Concordant. Who's only got one? Yeah. Okay, you can have Concordant. Johannes, what country are you from?
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia? I want you to check with the Bible College office as to whether or not you want to take this class. Since you're a foreign student and we're evaluating English translations. You might like the class and you might learn something, but at the same time, you might get something from something else. So we've had foreign students in here. They've liked it. But, you know, evaluating English translations for a foreign student. Do you have an Ethiopian translation you want to bring to class?
Yeah.
Do you have more than one or just one?
Do you find one?
Yeah.
I have one.
One?
Yeah.
Will you bring it and evaluate it?
Sure.
Let's put it in space two. What's it called?
Amharic.
A-M-H-A-R-I-C. That's one of our early versions that we studied.
Hmm?
Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Okay, put that in slot two, and you can give us an English understanding of it as we go along. Okay? That'll be good. We'll like that. So you got that one and Concordant, something else. New World.
I'll do it unless somebody else. I've already got two.
Back's got two. Go ahead.
Okay.
Lamza. You want that one? Okay. Simple English. How many do you have? You only have two?
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in the language, so...
Oh, you are? Well, maybe if you get a special interest, we'll give it to you. I've got a few at home I might want to throw in here that are real new. I'll stick them in 48 and 49, and we scratch 19. So we got a room to put a few in there. Let's look at file two and then we'll go get these. We'll start on something tonight. Method of evaluating translations. A word, phrase, or verse will be evaluated each reading. Instructor will explain the literal Greek. Well, I'll be writing things up on the board. And we'll try not to take anything that's controversial, because obviously if it's controversial, it's going to be hard to judge a translation as being right or wrong if it's something that we may not be dogmatic on ourselves. He'll write the exact words to be evaluated on the blackboard. In other words, will be considered, whatever we're looking at, that's what we're looking at. Only renderings agreed upon by the standard Greek works shall be used. The message which the inspired writer penned is God's word, not how we could apply it to us today. Some translations are designed to give us the literal meaning of the Greek words, others the meaning of the Greek thoughts. both will be rated equally, meaning we're not going to give them a break if they're simplified, expanded, or anything else. They're just all going to get judged as to whether or not they're accurate. Nobody gets a break. And it puts the literal translations at an advantage because they're more accurate. They're more literal. They're more accurate. Any translation that takes it upon themselves to amplify runs the risk of putting something wrong in. And if we feel that it's wrong, we're going to rate them down. Literal translations are real straight. Don't add a lot. Don't subtract a lot. So they're going to have run less risk of getting penalized. One great perversion is certainly worse than many insignificant inadequacies. Therefore, the grade system is designed to provide such a perspective. If several major words or thoughts are involved in the phrase, each shall be evaluated separately on different lines, but at one reading, well, whatever's practical, that's what we'll do. Now, here's our rating, and we all want to use the same rating scale. If we're rating in bushels, we need everybody to be in bushels and not somebody in meters and somebody else in gallons. Some are measuring in feet and others are measuring in volume and others are measuring in pounds. And when we're all done with that, we won't be able to add them all up together and average them and compare our results. So I want everybody to follow this scale to the letter. However, you can differ from one another in your rating, just follow the scale. In other words, you can differ on the left-hand column as to your opinion as to whether it's almost accurate or fairly accurate, but put the correct point value in depending on what you've decided. If you think it's almost accurate, then give it a 3. If you think it's quite inaccurate, give it a -3. Don't give it a -100 or some other unusual rating that'll throw our whole curve off. So, and by the way, somebody may think it's accurate and somebody else may think it's inaccurate in the same rating in our class. That's fine. We have a lot of differences among us. But we all want to be in the same vehicle of rating scale so that we can compare our results. Now, the worst you could ever give a rating is -30. So don't give anything worse than that. The highest is +5. Don't give it a 10 if it's really a juicy one. Or you like it or something. Give it a +5 and that's as far as you can go. Otherwise, it throws our averages off. Now, let me explain this scoring scale. By the way, statistics have been my hobby since I was about 3 years old. And I've done loads of just hobby type of things. And I'm not surprised I'm teaching this class. And I like working with numbers, and this is a really good scoring scale. Now, I've seen other translation evaluations, and I saw one where the guy gave it a 0 or a 1, whether it was good or bad, 0 or 1. But that doesn't reflect enough, it's not enough elasticity in that rating scale, because if you're rating the word was a god, that translation deserves the gong. And, you know, other little minor things, we still want to rate minor things down, but we just want to have a lot of room to really knock somebody if they've got, you know, something as detrimental to the doctrine as the word was a god. That's a -30 rating. Now, notice between -10 and -30, we've got a big gap. You can give -15 if you want. You can give -19. So you can come up with anything in between. I feel like to give it 14.5 is probably going to, -14, probably going to, you know, I don't think you're that precise myself in your ability to cut these things. So stick to whole numbers. You can give 4s, 2s, you know, you can give any number between 5 and -30. And you're going to do that because somebody's going to come along and they're going to give a rendering and you're going to give it a 1 or something. And somebody else is going to give another one. It's going to be slightly better. So you want to be able to, you know, to go up to a 2 or slightly worse or go down to this. So you're going to want to be able to maneuver. Some people are real emotional in their evaluations. And They may differ and say things that strike you emotionally negative, and you may be quick to give it a minus 30, but when you think about it, it's really no big deal. See, it's really no big deal. Doctrinally, you know, practically. Now, the word was a god. I consider that to be an enormous perversion with a lot of consequences. So I'd give that a minus 30. But let's say a rendering like Acts 2, 3, when they heard this sound. Living Bible says, when they heard the roaring in the sky above the house. I don't know what was up there besides, you know, Rudolph and a few others, but that I consider to be very inaccurate. It's ad-libbing and all this other stuff, but there's no doctrine there. It's no big deal. It doesn't change it. It doesn't affect our theology. So they heard a roaring in the sky above the house. I'd just give that a minus 5. I wouldn't give it any worse than that. No matter how far off it is, it doesn't affect the doctrine. It doesn't. It's not a perversion. It's not something that is purposely put in there. It's just more of an interpretation. So I'd only give it a minus 5 because I don't think it's that important. Now, I am leaving myself a lot of room between minus 5 and minus 30 for perversions, twists, dishonesty, changes, those kind of things. And I tend to be on the conservative side. For the worst things, I tend to give like minus 15s. I want to save minus 30 for a real Lulu. I want to be able to really give somebody something. And I use John 1:1. That, to me, is, you know, one of the worst translations that you could come up with. I tell you, another minus 30 I would give is when they have Enoch went to the spirits in prison instead of Christ. I'd give that a minus 30. It's doctrinal. It's total ad lib perversion. I don't consider it any excuse for that, so I'd give that a minus 30 too. Something I might give a minus 15 to, though, is where they change prophecy to preaching. Now, I know a lot of people would give that a minus 30, but I don't consider that as important. Maybe I give it a minus 20. I don't know. I try to not be emotional about my ratings, and that's doctrinal. That's important. They're messing it up by putting preaching or inspired preaching or some other thing, but I don't know that I'd give it a minus 30. I'd probably give that a minus 20. Notice somewhat inaccurate is only a minus 1. We're talking about things that aren't doctrinal, aren't major, you know, things that are incorrectly translated according to the Greek. Minus 1. Quite inaccurate, minus 3. Very inaccurate, minus 5. But minor consequence, meaning doctrinal consequence, practical consequence. You know, if they say Jesus, the text says Jesus walked down the road, and they translate it, he rode down the road or something, I'd probably give that a minus 5. Totally inaccurate. But it has no consequence. There's no doctrine there. There's no issue at hand. So we want to be able to make this distinction. Now, the rating scale is designed to downgrade translations that have major doctrinal mistranslations. And so we want to be able to give them a minus 20 or a minus 30, if necessary, at those places. Many translations, most all ratings will be between 5 and, let's say, minus 5 or even minus 10. Most all renderings will be right in there, back and forth, back and forth. 3, minus 1, 3, 0, 3, 2. I mean, lots of little stuff like that. Well, if we can get 100 scriptures covered, that'll begin to stretch out with all the evaluating we've done, and we'll actually be able to see, you know, this one gets a total of 180 points, and this one gets a total of 100. And, you know, if it misses one point per time, after 100 ratings, this guy gets 210, this guy's going to get 110. I mean, it's going to show up, maybe a 100-point difference between those two translations. Somebody else that averages minus 3 per rendering, he's going to get minus 300. And he's going to be in the cellar. Some of them will get worse than that. So it'll stretch out over a while. Now, in between, this is our rating, so stick with something between 5 and minus 30, and think in the left-hand column. Think, is this precisely accurate? Is this almost accurate? Is this fairly accurate? Now, neutral means that the reading is ambiguous. They've translated it in a way where it's not wrong and it's not right. Somehow they've gotten out of it by translating it in an ambiguous way. Well, we can't rate those, so we're giving those zeros. Zero, by the way, is an oft-used rendering. Usually when you can't decide what to give it, I'll give it a zero. Words that reflect accurate teaching but inaccurate renderings because of translating receive a higher score than an inaccurate teaching in first century thought, but not as high as an accurate rendering, especially if it destroys a type or weakens the truth. In other words, they may have translated it inaccurately, but they're doctrinally correct. Well, they just get an inaccurate score. Somebody else may translate it inaccurately and be doctrinally incorrect. Well, they're going to really get docked for that. Now, number one, example. Thieves dig through and steal. Well, the ancient scene, rock and clay homes. Dig is literal, give it a 5. Thieves break through and steal. Well, a 3, almost accurate. There's a difference between dig and break. Person hasn't been accurate to the Greek. Now, I might give that a 4. Myself, because I allow a little bit for dynamic translating. I'm allowing a little bit for that. Now NAS would probably translate it breakthrough and steal. Rotherham would put dig through and steal on Concordant. They'd always have dig. They'd always have the literal. But I don't think breakthrough is that bad. And so I might give it a 4. I don't think I'd give it a 5. I think I'd make a 1-point difference. This rating sets it up as a 3, and that's fine. Almost accurate. Then we have another example. Lamp, stand, or candlestick. Well, pretty close. Candlestick, the typology with candlestick is missing the oil. Candlesticks burn wax. Lampstands burn oil. And so the typology of the oil is lost in the rendering. We're stuck with a candlestick. The word candlestick, I mean, the candlestick is different. And so maybe we put that down to a 1 because we've lost a little typology there. It's just a little bit more important than 1 and 2. Now you can see how conservative these ratings are. Some people would give candlestick a minus 5. I wouldn't, because I'm conservative. I consider that to be fairly accurate, because I know what else is coming up in these renderings, and I know there's going to be loads of inaccurate stuff coming up. So I'm saving myself for that. Let's skip 5 through 10. That is a hard thing to rate there, boy, believe me. 11. The Greek is with authority. Well, exousia, Greek word authority. He translates it with power, as though the word dunamis had the same meaning, and it doesn't. So again, we have a difference 3 to 5. Now, the King James misses these words authority and power all the time. A lot of times they've translated exousia power instead of authority, and there's a difference. Then had the ring of authority. Now, there's a big difference between having authority and having the ring of authority. Minus 15 might be too severe there. I would probably give that maybe a minus 10. Had only the ring of authority. Well, we made that up. That wasn't really in there. But we made it up just to show you something worse. I would probably give that a minus 20 to minus 30. saying that Jesus' words had only the ring of authority is basically saying that he didn't have authority. That's pretty bad. But minus 20 to minus 30 is about where I'd be with that. We'll be discussing this as we go. And so, if at any time in the evaluation you start to get behind, and what we're going to do is we're going to read around the class, starting with number one, Tyndale. Jeff will read us the spot that I've chosen to evaluate, and he'll read it, and we'll all evaluate it. We'll assign it a number in this box. Then we'll drop down to number two, Amharic translation, and Johannes there will give us an English equivalent. We'll assign it a number off of our little chart here. And we'll be doing that, and we'll fill up this whole sheet. We'll fill up about six of these sheets with numbers, add them all up at the end, and whoever has the most wins. But if you start getting behind, and some of these, they'll come up with something completely different. And we'll put our thinking caps on, and maybe we'll have discussion. And I'll ask you, how many gave it a positive score? And about five people raise their hand. And I'll say, how many people gave it a negative score? And about five people raise their hand. And then we'll say, why did you give it a negative score? And they'll say, well, I took it this way. And then we'll say, why did you give it a positive score? And they say, well, I took it this way. And a lot of times we'll recognize it's ambiguous, and a lot of people will merge into a zero. So I recommend you use pencil for evaluating, because then you can erase. I'll let you evaluate it, and you'll give it a minus 15 or whatever, and then we'll have a big discussion, and you'll change your rating back to maybe minus 5 or something. So, you know, if you can, do rate with a pencil, use an eraser, that way you can change your ratings, because we want to discuss and get different ways that it strikes people, so that we can evaluate with more than just our own head. Now, there's always the question in this class, if the Baptist Church evaluated the scriptures that we're going to evaluate, their evaluations would differ from ours. And they would. They would. Let me give you an example. First Corinthians 14. He that preaches with inspiration edifies the church. The Baptist might give that a zero, or maybe only a minus 3. He might give it a positive 3. He might say almost accurate. We would probably give it a minus 20 or worse. To us, major perversion of some type. And so your theology is going to affect how you rate these. Now, I feel that we should not try to be. Some people try to be, I'm only going to be objective. In this class, you cannot be totally objective. You have to rate this relative to your theological framework, relative to what you believe. In other words, certain verses are going to strike you as perversions, whereas somebody else in a Trinitarian frame of mind, he may give it a positive. Well, you're giving it a minus 25. Because he's Trinitarian, he thinks it's right. He thinks it's accurate. You're not Trinitarian, you look at that as a false doctrine or something, you get a big minus score. Don't be afraid to be biased in your ratings. You are biased. Your rating will be subjective. Now, your rating is for you. So rate it from your perspective, from where you're at. This is your rating. When we're done, you will have evaluated this whole list of translations according to your own rating, and you will have made a decision on your feelings as to how grave an inaccuracy this is and whatever. And see, it's your evaluation, it's for you. The Baptist could not use our translation evaluation scores because this theology is just too different from ours. But this is for us. This is our evaluation.
Canceling school at 8 o'clock.
Canceling school at 8 o'clock. Okay.
Everybody go home with snowing like mad out there.
Thanks. Really, want to be able to make it home. Spend the night in the snow. So, don't get into some kind of a legalistic framework. Don't think, well, I wonder how a Lutheran would take this. Well, how does the general public view this? So forget them. This is your rating. Rate it from your own perspective, where you're at, community chapel or whatever your philosophy is. Rate it according to yourself, because it's only going to be good for you. Now, at the end of the class, we'll take an average of everybody's, and we'll tally those scores up and give you a copy of that so you can compare yourself with the class average. Then I have 10-year evaluations from 10 years' classes, and we'll compare you with those evaluations. So we'll try to give ourselves something to, you know, bounce our ratings off. But realize, we're subjective. We can't be totally objective. We've got to rate it from our perspective. There's no other way. Everybody that evaluates translations does so from their frame of reference. It's impossible to do it any other way. Now, another thing. Try to be consistent with yourself. With yourself. Now, if you start off fairly liberal, well, be consistent. If you start off fairly conservative, be consistent. Be consistent with yourself. And, you know, whatever you give a rating, you've got to keep giving that same reading the same number all the way through. And we'll backtrack and pick some of those up if need be. If we're down on 27 and he says something, and we'll say, oh yeah, he says the same as number 13, NEB. Same rendering, meaning same score. So we'll try to be as consistent and as accurate as we can, but just be consistent with yourself. This is your rating. This is what you're... And you'll... When we'll start off kind of slow, because you kind of have to get the hang of this. You have to be thinking and listening to it and evaluating, and if you haven't done it before, we'll start off kind of slow. It won't be too long until we can move pretty rapidly through these, and you'll be confident in the evaluations you're giving. Actually, there's two benefits in this class. One is, when we're done, you'll have an idea of where the translations lie, and you'll be able to listen to them numerous times. You'll even be able to kind of take a guess at which one's Fenton, which one's Phillips, which one's amplified. You'll get an ear enough to know what amplified sounds like. You'll be able to tell amplified out of the crowd. Some of them you can't tell. They resemble too many others, but there are some real distinct ones here that after a while they have a certain flavor and you can identify it. You'll know it. It'll be good for you to do that. It'll be good for you to know which translations are good and which aren't so good, and to have proof in your own mind that you're confident in making that evaluation. But I think one of the main values is learning how to evaluate these translations. And this is why I think some foreign students have taken the class, is because knowledge of English translations may not be that valuable for them. But the knowledge of how to evaluate translations may be real valuable, because then they can evaluate translations in any language, and new translations that come out, they can evaluate those based on what we've done here. So how to evaluate, we'll learn how to evaluate, and we'll get experience at it and practice over the course of the semester. I consider that to be as important as anything. And there are always new translations coming out, and you can run them through our system here and check them out and compare them to the ones we've done here and get a score for them. I recommend that you have a notebook for this class and take notes. With every scripture we evaluate, I'll be writing up some notes on the board, the Greek words we're looking at, what the literal is, and then we'll put down some proposed renderings to get started, and we'll discuss it, and we'll try to, you know, we'll try to get some projected ratings, some common renderings already evaluated before we even start in, so that we kind of know where we are. And I want you to take notes on that, so in the future, if you need to do any evaluating, you've got a notebook, and you've got all these scriptures, and you've got the word studies we did on it, and you remember what points you assigned to certain readings that's on your notes, because all you're going to have here is a whole page of numbers. You won't know what those numbers go with. So you definitely need to take notes and have a notebook so that in the future you can go back and see what these numbers mean. These numbers represent certain translations, and that'll be of value to you. And if we go over 100 renderings, you're going to run into, you know, 20 pages of notes or whatever. That will only be a small part of our class because we'll get through that in a few minutes and then we'll start reading. We'll be giving our number scores. But you'll want to take notes and get that all down for future evaluating. I'm up to 80 translations now. I think I have more than that now. Obviously, we can't take 80. I sometimes wonder what we're doing taking 50. But these translations on here, although some of them are obscure, many of them are well known by a number of people. I kind of don't want to leave any of them out. I don't want to leave out Weymouth. Believe it or not, there's people that read Weymouth. I don't want to leave out Living Bible. I mean, you know, it's only the bestseller. You know, and some of these are of interest to you. God being Worrell, they're of interest to you. They're literal translations. We want to see how good they are. So I have thrown out, and I'm constantly adding, I want to take the most recent ones. I have Tyndale down here only to compare him to the King James, and just because he's so famous. At one time I evaluated great bishops, Geneva, you know, all those other ones. I got them all at home, but they're not that much different than anything else. So basically Tyndale and King James are the only two I want to evaluate. King James is the benchmark for everything. So any questions here? Go ahead.
Has there been any consistency over the last 10 years in the classes as far as getting the same Bible, same type of score?
The number scores vary, but the position as to top, mid, or poor remains basically the same. Now, some translations are quite highly volatile. Kenneth Wiest is volatile. He'll get as many minus 30s as anybody else. But he's real accurate, and he'll generate loads of fives. So he give him three minus 30s in a row, and that'll just take him from a B rating down to a D plus. And should we miss those three scriptures this semester, that's 105 more points he gets. Because we took three others that he got fives in. In other words, three minus 30s can really move you on the rating scale up or down a lot. Wiest can generate a lot of minus 30s. Fenton can generate a lot of minus 30s. Some of these guys, I mean, they're either on or they're way off. So, and then there's the King James. The King James is mealy mouth all the way through. It doesn't even matter what scriptures you take with the King James. You're going to get good and bad, mediocre all the way through. So the King James remains basically static, about in the middle every year. Wiest, he can really move up or down. Wiest potentially could finish about 10th, but a lot of times he'll finish 30th. Because we've hit on doctrinal verses on the Godhead that he has messed up. And then we hit on Calvinism, and he lost out on that. And then we hit on a few other doctrines, and he got minus 30s there. So we've kind of... And I'm hitting doctrinal verses, number of important doctrinal verses. I want to do that. And some of these really suffer in those doctrinal verses. So, basically the answer to your question is they remain the same, but certain ones have potential to really move around. They really have potential. Just depends on what verses we take.
Are we going to rotate through these? In other words, are we only going to do three, or are we going to be able to do all of them actually by the end of the semester as far as evaluating the translation?
We're going to evaluate them all at each point.
So in other words, each individual gets to evaluate all 48 of these?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but those you're going to read.
Right. You've got your three to read.
Right.
But while you're waiting to read yours, somebody else will be reading theirs, and we'll all be evaluating them all at once as we go along.
What about absences?
If you know you're going to be absent, you can ask somebody else to bring your translations. If not, we're only 50 feet from the library, and if we see you're not here, I know what you've got. I've written your name down on these. We may run over there and grab them, and I'll just read them, or somebody else will. Sometimes we'll just skip you and we'll get you next week. But if you miss 2 weeks in a row, we'll probably grab you so we don't get too far behind. We'll make do if there are absences. In this class, this is a pass-fail class. So attendance is important. The main thing is that you make up your work and don't get snowballed behind. To pass this class, you have to complete all the evaluations at the end. I'm not going to be so worried if you're missing a night or three or whatever the rating is, and the Bible college has a cutoff point, but on a pass-fail class, I think you can miss a third or something. But you have to make it up. If you get too far behind, you know, you're not going to get all your numbers, and then we don't want your numbers if you're not done, because we don't want to mess up our averages. So if you've only got 80 scriptures and we went through 100, we don't want you to average yours in with us, because we'll have completely different totals. So to pass the class, you'll just have completed the semester's work is all. And if you keep up on it, there won't be any problem. Another question. We're through at 8. The next thing we should do is all get our translations. And by the time we do that, it'll be 10 minutes, it'll be 8. We won't get anything done. Let me give you scriptures that we'll start out taking next week. We'll start out with that. You can take notes on it now, and we'll even discuss it and get it set up. That's what we'll do with our remaining 10 minutes. What's that? Is roll sheet going around? Is it all the way around? Everybody sign the roll sheet if you're...
Everybody sign
it by faith. By faith. You'll sign it by faith. Let's take Revelation 1:10. Now, you've got this grid set up like this. And then down here we've got this. So you put here Revelation 1:10. We're going to take two ratings there. So we'll put it in twice. And over here is Tyndale. And we've got this translation. So we'll read this and give it an evaluation or whatever. That's basically what we're going to be doing. That's the way your sheet'll look. Revelation 1:10 in the King James says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what the King James says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In fact, I want to take three ratings here. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The first thing I want to look at is I was. I was. Now the Greek is not I was. The Greek is I came to be or became. I came to be or became. I was like as though it were a normal condition or something. But instead I came to be in the Spirit. Like this is something I entered into. This is something different than where I was. It's just the tense of a Greek verb. I am giving came to be or became a 5. I am giving I was a 2. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm rating. And you can use me as a reference point, but you can disagree with me and give it anything you want. But I'm just telling you what I'm doing. As we get into this a little more, you'll develop your own confidence, and then you'll have opinions and you'll give it what you want. I'm just giving you these kind of to get you going here. So that's all I'm doing with that. I became in spirit, I was in spirit. No big deal there. I'm just looking at the tense of a Greek verb. That's all I'm looking at. Then, second part of the verse, in the spirit. The Greek is in spirit, no article. I came to be in spirit. Now, if you say in the spirit, that's a real common experience and expression, in the spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean to the degree that John was. You know, I was in the Spirit. Well, that's happening all day long with people. And so, in the Spirit sounds like you're just walking in the Spirit. I'm giving that a zero, because I feel like it's ambiguous. In Spirit, I'm giving a five. Now, how about caught up in ecstasy? I was caught up in ecstasy. What do you give that? Well, here's the problem with caught up in ecstasy. It could be taken in a positive sense. But it might sound soulical. You know, I was caught up in ecstasy, you know. I mean, the Mariners won a doubleheader. I mean, it caught up in ecstasy, that doesn't describe what the Apostle John was experiencing. What's that?
The miracle.
Yeah, with the Mariners, anything can happen, and it usually does. Caught up in ecstasy, I'm probably going to give that a minus five, only because it has such a common soulical understanding definition that it doesn't really describe in spirit. Now, here's a case where it's really a judgment. Caught up in ecstasy. Wow, what do you give that? It depends on how you take it. We could have a wide range of differences here on this one. In a trance. I was in a trance. My own feeling is that this is closer to what John was experiencing than just ecstasy. But we don't know that he was in a trance. See, we don't know that. It says in spirit. If you say a trance, you're ad-libbing. I don't really mind trance that much. I could give trance a one. I could give it a minus three. It depends on what mood I'm in that day. I think it's better than ecstasy because it's a valid spiritual experience and it's closer to where John was. John was in something akin to a trance, wherever, whatever it was. You know. But you might give trance a minus one. It's an assumption. Some might give it a minus three. You know, trance, well, where'd you get that? It doesn't say that. It says in spirit. It doesn't say trance. Under the Spirit's power. Under the Spirit's power. Now, this is not what the Bible says. The Bible says I was in spirit. It doesn't say under the Spirit's power. But this isn't too bad of an idea. This is fairly accurate. I mean, I was under the Spirit's power. On my rating sheet there, I have almost accurate, fairly accurate. I'd probably give this a 1, under the Spirit's power. Or maybe a 0, or a 1. I think that's fairly accurate. I mean, it was under the Spirit's power. That's not bad. The Spirit took control of me. Spirit took control of me. Well, I'd probably give that a 1, under the Spirit's power. Spirit took control of me. Maybe a 0. I was worshiping. Now, one translation says, I was worshiping on Sunday. Now, they've got on the Lord's Day, the third thing, they've got that as Sunday. So, he was worshiping on Sunday. Well, worshiping, I'm probably going to give that about a minus 10. I consider that way off. I might give it a minus 5, but I've already got caught up in ecstasy as a minus 5. Worshiping, that's just a standard old practice. You know, we worship every day. I mean, a lot more was happening to John than just that. So I'm probably going to give that a minus 10. How about this? I was inspired. I was inspired. Now, the problem with that is, by what? Inspired. I mean, sinners get inspired. And so that could be completely taken as soulical. I don't know. Is that worse than worshiping or about the same or better?
Or could it be ambiguous?
Well, it is ambiguous, but in my opinion, it's bad all the way around. So I'd probably give Inspired a minimum of a minus 5. I'd probably give it a minus 10.
How does the rest of the verse, like when you said...
I was inspired on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
That's the way it would read.
But when it's like, one might say, I came to be, and then worshiping or something like that, where it gave one idea or...
Those that put worshiping would have the verb was.
Okay. But when one thing is like, when you can kind of take...
Each one is independent. We're going to rate each one independent.
Okay, we're not going to look at how the other one affects that?
If it affects it in a major way, we'll take that into consideration. But basically, they're going to be, each one is separate. So, Rob.
I was on worshiping. Now, I know that they say worship service from 10 to 11 and stuff, but the biblical word for worship, or the connotation, is quite a bit different than that. And so I was just curious on that particular point. And if I took this word worshiping for, like David was worshiping, I would give that a much higher rating.
Well, the question is, John, on the Isle of Patmos, was probably not worshiping when all this happened. He was in a spiritual state under the power of God where he was having visions and revelations. It wasn't just, I was worshiping on Sunday and I had a dream.
Yeah,
I mean, this translation, worshiping, is missing the whole boat.
Okay.
So that's why I'm giving it as low as minus 10. It's not that I think that worshiping is bad. I just think that it wasn't here at this time. Inspired, I'd probably give that a minus 10. Caught up by the Spirit. I was caught up by the Spirit. Well, maybe something like the Spirit took control of me or under the Spirit's power. Maybe something like that. Maybe even better than that. Maybe a 2. I was caught up by the Spirit. I don't know that John was caught up. He had a number of experiences there. See, what happens when you start changing what's there, then you have to know what took place and look at how many different ideas these guys have. So this gets complicated. The third rating, I'll just get it down here, on the Lord's Day. The Greek is in the Lord's Day, meaning John was caught down to the time period of end time events called the Day of the Lord. See, it wasn't Sunday. It was in the Lord's Day, meaning in that time of the rapture, the battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the millennium. I mean, he became in spirit into the Lord's Day. So literally in the Lord's Day, I give that a 5. On the Lord's Day, I'm probably going to give that a minus 1, minus 3. See, what we're talking about here is what happened in the experience, not what day the experience was, but what happened. If they say on Sunday, I'm going to give them a minus 10. I consider that another doctrinal boo-boo. I give them a minus 10. Any questions on this? We'll be leaving here. Get home for the snow. So... next time, bring your translations to class. We'll try to start right in at 7:05. You might make an effort to get here on time, because if we all launch in and then you come late, you're going to be behind on your numbers. And you know, I won't start before 7:05, though. Probably we'll get started at 7:07 some days, but if we can get going by then we can get a lot done.
Just go get this from the library.
Bring him to class from the library. If you get here at 7, you'll have 5 minutes to go there and get him. Recovery version. I just got one of these with somebody. Let's take this. Let's write it in. We'll write it in 48. You want to bring it?
I'll bring it, yeah.
Okay. I have another one.
What?
Another translation. I have another one.
What
I can get
that?
2, 3. I think they translated from the Living Bible.
Okay, maybe we'll let that go, since we already have a living Bible, so we probably know what we're going to come up with. But this other one you've got, is this a common translation for Ethiopia?
Yeah, there are three, and this one is the better one. It's from, I think they made it from United Bible Society.
Okay. Well, it'd be good to take that.
Okay.
Then you'll know how it compares with all of ours.
Okay. Do I have to bring this one too for condom?
Is that the only other one you've got?
No, I have NIV.
You can give one of those up if you want. If you only want to take two.
Okay, I want to take NIV.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
We'll get some concordance.